Checkity check.
Check, 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 check your booty.
Check your booty.
Check your booty.
Come on now.
Check, 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 ba da ba da ba. Check, check, check. Check your booty.
From Television City in Hollywood, it's Irritable Dad Syndrome. Now, please welcome your hosts, Mike and Darren.
Hey, everybody, I'm Darren.
I'm Mike.
This is episode 51 of Irritable Dad Syndrome, and we are very excited that you're here.
That's the last number that's going to be in this podcast. We're not going to do any math, and we're going to be funny from the get-go.
From the damn start. Hilarious.
Jaw-dropping.
Oh, so funny you can't hardly stand it.
Side-splitting.
We got a review. Well, one review said that they were sick of us talking about what number of podcasts that we are.
That's right.
And granted, that makes sense.
Yep.
And two, can you guys be funny within the first 2 to 3
minutes? Within the first 2 to 3 minutes. So
okay, so we're trying.
We've been going for 20 seconds now. We got to have a zinger come out here quick.
A guy walks into a bar. It hurt.
Oh, geez. Okay.
I don't know.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Moo. Yeah, see, we're not... What we do is we tell stories.
Yeah.
And we talk about...
Stories aren't funny right at the beginning.
No, we're not a set them up and knock them down.
What? You know, yeah.
And we don't tell jokes.
Insert clown horn here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So, anyway...
You walk into a party and you try to be funny within the first 30 seconds.
And you're that asshole that doesn't get invited to the next party.
Yeah, people are going to be calling the police. And this is one of the fun episodes. So longtime listeners will be able to tell when Mike doesn't prepare. The episode has a certain flumage. This is one of those episodes. Uh-huh. I wasn't feeling particularly funny today.
I texted you 3 times and it's like, do you have anything for this show?
I was busy. I was doing what some refer to as work during the day.
Yeah. Okay.
I was unable to and unwilling to respond. But I've been watching a lot of Trailer Park Boys. I've discovered Tom Segura.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're going to just steal from that and put it in this week's show? Or?
Yeah, because nobody watches either of those things. So okay. Nobody knows what I'm going to do.
I'm pretty sure people watch Trailer Park Boys and know who Tom Segura is.
That's not a niche. Okay, so Trailer Park Boys, I got Mr. Jim Boyce introduced me to them years and years and years ago.
Right.
He gave me a DVD and said, here, watch this. And I do what I normally do with DVDs that someone gives me or lets me borrow. I put them on the shelf and I never look at them again.
Just like the copy of The Sandlot.
Yeah, they're right over there.
Okay.
I've never looked at that DVD. About 10 years, I'm not kidding, a long time goes by, and I find Trailer Park Boys on Netflix, and I watch it. And idiot me is not smart enough to remember that he gave me that DVD. So the next time I saw him, I was like, dude, Trailer Park Boys is awesome.
He's like, that's what I've been trying to tell you.
You finally watch this DVD? I was like, no, I saw it on Netflix.
Dope. Yeah.
It's hilarious. Rush is in an episode. Like the band Rush.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Canadian.
They were hilarious in I Love You, Man.
Rush?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You saw that, right? With Jason. Jason, what's his face?
Jason Bourne and Matt Sudeikis?
Yeah. Yeah. Both of those guys.
Okay.
They went backstage to see Rush and get their bass.
Oh,
I like to slap on a bass.
Ant-Man and the Muppet guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And Rush were pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, even Neil Peart.
They do a lot of crap in their last concert I saw, R40, they had extended sections like in the intermission where it's like them like doing acting stuff. And it's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, Rush were very funny.
But what's his name? Alex Lifeson.
Yes.
Was in an episode of Trailer Park Boys.
Okay.
They kidnap him
and
make him play songs back at the trailer park. He's covered in duct tape, and he's being Alex Lifeson, and they get him back out to the Rush concert, and they bring Bubbles, character from Trailer Park Boys, out onto the stage, and they play Closer to the Heart.
Okay.
Which ruined that song for me. I love that song, and now I can't listen to it without thinking of Bubbles singing it. Closer to the Heart. Anyway, hi, episode... Well, you know what? If you want to know, don't say it. If you want to know what number the episode is, start this thing over and start back, because we're not saying numbers.
We're not talking
at
about
all,
numbers anymore
at all.
Tonight, at all.
This portion of Irritable Dad Syndrome is brought to you by Diff Liquid Concentrated Wallpaper Stripper. With its unique enzyme action, Diff dissolves old paste and cuts wallpaper removal time in half. Let's face it, back in the day, removing wallpaper was a real pain in the ass, and nobody wanted to do it. Well, not anymore. Diff is fast and easy, and will make your next renovation project more fun than a barrel of monkeys, whatever the hell that means. So stop by your local hardware store and ask for Diff, and tell them you heard about it on Irritable Dad Syndrome. Back to you, Mike and Damon.
I wanted to apologize.
Good. It's about time.
I've edited a few shows.
Okay.
And a few weeks ago, I thought, let's give Cursor the Quacking Duck a little bit of a break. And I thought whenever an occasional curse word slipped in, usually from Mike, I started throwing in a car horn.
Yeah.
and Mike's like, Darren, my wife was listening in the car.
Yeah.
And every time that came on, we thought someone was about to drive over us.
Well, here's the thing.
So I apologize for using a car horn, especially for people who listen to this podcast while driving.
I apologize
and I don't do it anymore.
Allow me to add some more flavor to that. If you've listened to a podcast for X number of episodes and you're used to a random duck coming in every time somebody says, you know, and then all of a sudden you hear, all these different things, it starts to, you don't know what's going on, but a car horn especially, you don't need that.
Well, it was the two syllable cuss words that
somebody else complained about the ding. Oh, one of the people on Reddit said that they thought their phone was giving them a notification.
So I used a sound effect for whenever, like occasionally we would spell words.
Yeah.
And so whenever we would spell the word correctly, ding, that means you did it correctly, right? This guy didn't get it.
No.
So I apologize. And I've stopped doing that.
We're going to edit exclusively with quacker, or maybe we'll put a generic bad word in there. You know, like the when you get cornflakes at the Kroger and you don't want to pay for the that chicken on the front. You just get the white with the, you know.
What are you talking about? Cornflakes with the chicken on the front?
Don't they still have a chicken on the front?
Yeah.
Or that's a hen or a rooster or whatever. Oh, it's supposed to be a rooster because it's cock-a-doodle-doo, wake up. Okay, I get it.
What are you talking about?
I'm back. Well, is that why the rooster's on the front of cornflakes? Because it's breakfast and you're supposed to wake up?
I guess because chickens eat corn. But it makes about as much sense as putting the tiger on the frosted flakes.
Tigers don't eat frosted flakes.
And I've talked about frosted flakes before, but let's talk about frosted flakes again.
Okay.
They take corn, grind it up, they flatten it into a flake.
Yeah.
Then they coat it with sugar.
Yeah.
Then they put it on a blue box with a tiger and say, kids will love this if you put milk over it.
It's genius.
Makes no sense at all.
It's wonderful.
So my third apology for tonight. I wanted to apologize to Cincinnati's local soccer team. They are not FCC Cincinnati. They're just FC Cincinnati. Yeah. The Federal Communications Commission has nothing to do with soccer. Well, in England, they call it football.
Okay.
You can't play with your hands.
And I want to apologize to everyone, and mostly sports fans, for not understanding any of what you just said and any of that part of the show. Back when we recorded that.
This portion of Irritable Dad Syndrome is brought to you by Boz Skaggs' Greatest Hits. This is Dave Lay. I know music, and it's hard to find an album greater than this one, with groovy hits like Lowdown, to the sad, sad truth, the dirty lowdown, the tender love classic, Look What You've Done to Me. Love, look what you've done to me. And who can forget the Lido Shuffle? These great hits and more all on one compact disc. So go to your favorite record store or order Boz Skaggs' Greatest Hits on the internet today.
So Mike and I went to Kings Island.
With the family.
With the family, yeah.
Mike was 15 to 20 minutes, actually a half hour late.
Right.
Okay, can I hijack this story from the beginning? I want you to understand, because you know, there's behind the scenes sections to this story.
Sure.
Okay, I thought why not be responsible? Because every time we go to Kings Island, we're in line for like 3 hours mm-hmm. for a 5-minute ride.
Yeah.
And we're not going to pay all that money for Fast Pass.
For the Fast Pass.
I feel like if you live in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be buying the Fast Pass. You live here.
Yeah.
You can go to Kings Island anytime you want.
Anytime you want.
Now, if you come here from Botswana or something, mm-hmm. and you only got one day in America, first off, don't spend it at Kings Island.
Right.
But second, if you do, get a Fast Pass. You don't want to wait in line all that
crap.
Yeah,
if you're coming in from Botswana, go to Nashville. Boston's yeah. really nice.
So we best identified the most opportune time to go to
Kansas
Kings
City
Island.
Kansas City has great barbecue.
Is between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. I'm not
Cleveland
biting on
has the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Anytime between
Florida is beautiful this time.
Oh my God. 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. on a Friday is the perfect time to come. It's not too hot. Mm-hmm. Most people, when they get off Friday and they live around here, they're going to have dinner and then go.
Right.
Nobody's at Kings Island right. between 5 and 7 p.m. You've got to run the run of the park.
That's true.
The other time is because we're Gold Pass members and the park opens up, in theory, a half hour early.
Theory.
Is go there right when it opens, go mm-hmm. straight to Orion
or Diamondback.
Diamondback or whatever, yeah. and do your thing.
Yeah, be the first to ride the ride.
Beth said, why don't we call the Coxes?
Yeah.
And bring them along. Yeah. I was like, that'll be great. And by bring them along, I mean tell you we're going to be there. And meet
then
you
we
there.
Will meet there. Yes.
Yeah. So we agreed to meet there at 10:30, mm-hmm. the opening of the park for the Gold Pass people.
Right.
Okay. Someone in this family at Mike. Some point enunciated that it only takes 15 minutes to get to Kings
You've
Island.
You've been to the park before. You're a Gold Pass member.
I know.
You should know
but
how
I don't
long
pay
it takes
attention
to get
to these details.
You're the one who usually drives.
So we
Mike.
Left at 10:15.
How do you it not know how we long were, it takes to get from your house to the park?
It said we wouldn't get there until 10:45. I go to call you, mm-hmm. and then you called me. Mm-hmm. It was a weird moment. And you said you're already there. And then I felt even worse because right. now you're there like 15 minutes early.
Right. I was in line.
Long story
waiting
short.
Waiting to get into the parking lot.
Long story short, we get there at about, what, 11?
Okay, yeah.
I think you rode Mystic Timbers, then you came over to the Diamondback,
yes,
and
we had already
met you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you know how long it takes to get from your house to Kings Island, but I digress because there's a lot of things that I assume you would know that you don't.
There's a lot of things I should know that I don't.
Right.
And I know a lot of things I shouldn't know.
Right.
That have but, no... You, bearing on anything.
Okay, so you and Andrew had way more fun at the park than I did.
Yeah.
Because we got there on time. Mm-hmm. We got in line
yeah.
for Mystic Timber.
Right.
Okay, that's my favorite roller coaster at Kings Island.
Okay.
And I know you guys wanted to ride Orion first.
Yes.
So I figured since you weren't there, yeah. we were going to ride Mystic Timbers.
And then come meet
and then
us
go,
in Orion.
Yeah. And then do Orion.
Yeah.
So or some people call it Orion.
Yeah.
It's
some
Orion.
People call it Orion.
Orion, yeah. which is also wrong.
Yeah.
So we rode Mystic Timbers. Mm-hmm. We got off that. Mystic Timbers is just the bomb. Oh my God. If you've never been to Kings Island and in Mason, Ohio, Cincinnati area, it is packed full of punch. That is just a kick-ass roller coaster.
It's a deceptive roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Because you see a wooden roller coaster and you think,
yeah,
they're not going to go crazy.
Yeah,
it's intense.
But I love it. We ride that, and then you guys can't get on Orion because the line's already a mile long.
Because it's shut down.
Yeah,
it was shut down multiple times throughout the day.
That's right. There was a car.
There was a car stuck at the top.
Yeah, which always like, yeah, let's ride that.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck a mile up in the air. Yeah. You know? So we changed the plan.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go on Diamondback.
Yeah.
Okay. Diamondback. Oh my God, what a ride. So yeah. we get the Diamondback and what it take 5 minutes to
yeah.
get through and then to get on it, right?
Yeah.
We ride that, and as soon as that ride's over with, I'm done. I am dizzy as hell. I'm like Joe Cocker after he got off the Ferris wheel.
Okay.
I cannot I can barely stand. I'm trying to walk.
Yeah.
I am dizzy. I'm uh-huh. hoping, praying that I don't keel over, that I don't throw up. And we sat down. Everyone else decided, hey, let's ride the Banshee. I'm not going to ride that.
Yeah.
So I went with you guys.
You waited in line with us.
Yeah, I waited in line for as uh-huh. long as I could. And then I had to leave the line. I had to find some shade. I had to sit and drink some water. And I knew I had to leave the park. Mm. And that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah. So we were determined to mm-hmm. ride Orion.
Yeah. Orion.
Went back. Andrew and I went back. Uh-huh. And we were in line for about a half hour. Not that long. Maybe 20 minutes. And there was not much of a line. It was open again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stopped. Like, it literally, the car comes around, the train comes around, and like stops and then comes around and lets people off. If you've ridden it, you know, you go through all that stuff and you pause and then you come around. Mm-hmm. The car was there for the train was there for a very, very long time. And then we see a Kings Island employee walking out on the track, which is one of the more odd things to see. You typically don't see people walking on roller coaster tracks. Walked over no. to let the people know that something was going on with the ride and would they just be calm. Mm-hmm. So I looked at Andrew and I'm like, I think given that there's a Kings Island employee standing on the tracks, maybe they're going to shut the ride. And he's like, no, we've been in line. We're going to ride. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We waited about another 5 minutes and people started leaving. I'm like, let's go get something to eat and then we'll come back later.
Right.
So we went to go get something to
eat. Well, you know, there's always that group of people when, okay, there's two types of people in the line. When a bunch of them leave, they're like, well, screw that. I'm leaving too.
Yeah.
Then there's when a bunch of people leave.
A bunch of people
this run is my
in.
Chance to move up to the top of
so,
the line.
So we went to go eat. And finally, and Bess and Charlie were like, you know what? We've had enough of Kings Island.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, my plan was only to be at Kings Island for about as long as you were.
Yeah.
I was going to go there, ride a couple of rides in the morning and come home.
Yeah.
It's like 5 o'clock before or 4:30 before we finally got on this thing. We were in that line the final time that we got in there for at least 45, I think an hour, maybe an hour and 15.
Oh man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was somebody behind us. And again, every time I'm in line now at an amusement park, I think of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I got bumped.
Uh-huh.
I got bumped again. And then bumped again.
Uh-huh. Like,
my bad.
Yep.
It's okay. My bad.
Uh-huh.
It's okay. It's all right. I got
this
elbowed.
Happened last week too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about me. I'm an asshole magnet. People just keep running into me. So I look around.
Did you say, hey,
no,
this is harassment?
No, I got up to
warn him.
I keep a running total in my head. Because if you remember, Corbell Ice Cream was bumping into me last time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that ended up being good for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited. Until I counted 8 bumps, and then he bumped into Andrew.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay, now it's time to just get a good look at this guy.
Mm-hmm.
My bad, again. And I look around, it's somebody, they're kind of in their, I think they're early 20s with a mustache.
Oh, dear God.
Okay.
No.
Like a bristly walrus mustache. Like a mustache where it's clear he's going to be a mustache guy for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. But he's not really, should not be wearing that yet.
Like 2 more years and he's going to have the wife beater tank top?
Yeah. He's chosen a path. He's chosen a dark path. One that a razor could save him from.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I kept count of how many times he bumped. At one point, I started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, you know how you're like lanes are crossing, you're facing another group of people that's coming the other way.
Mm-hmm.
They just see me laughing and occasionally getting bumped from behind. I'm not exaggerating. I lost count around 25. Bumped into me at least that many times. And each time, sorry, man, elbow. He would do the thing where he's talking to his buddy and this backing through the thing and then run into me.
Yeah.
And then he would get right up next to me to where he was pushing Andrew up into the next group of people. And then elbowing me from the side.
Uh-huh.
He was standing closer to me than my wife stands to me most times. I mean, he was like right in there. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was terrified that we were going to have to sit next to him. I was going to like wait for the next train to go by.
You go ahead.
Yeah. You do your thing.
Yeah. We're waiting on two people
Somewhere in the court. And then I had to listen to all his inane communication with his buddy, his inane chatter.
Yeah.
When we go through the little building. Oh, we got to go through this building. Hey, man, look at that. Look at that graphic. Look at those graphics. It's like we're going to be on a space train. It's like space train.
Yeah, space train, man.
Hey, they got uniforms.
Yeah.
Where'd they get them uniforms? Hey, you know that uniform right there? That was in the right stuff.
So this guy was from King of the Hill?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, man, we're going up the steps now.
know we're going up the steps.
He's pointing at people and talking about them. They can clearly hear him.
Actually, you know what? It sounded like you were in line in front of Bill Clinton. Hey, y'all, how you doing?
Hey, Hillary's up here.
I like this ride, and I like that you're riding
like
it with me.
Ride.
I did not ride that roller coaster. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
So we get up to the, somewhere in the course of this, I'm asking Andrew, do you want to get in the front? Because I feel like that's the penultimate way to ride that. Just you ride in the back or you ride in the front.
It's the penultimate way.
Yeah. Ooh. That's the wrong use. That's penultimate is the one before the last. But I like to use it to mean something else. It means what I mean, what I think it means.
It sounds totally badass. It's incorrect.
It's the penultimate. This is the penultimate podcast, which would mean 52 would be our last podcast. I use penultimate the wrong way. Okay. But I'm going to continue to do that.
Okay.
All right. That's
it's
the
never
awesome,
stopped you before.
That's the most awesome way to ride the roller coaster.
Yeah.
So we get in the front, and the whole time, that thing shoots you up there.
Yeah.
Orion shoots you up there.
Yeah.
And when we got to the top, there's nothing else to look at. So if this was the first time riding it, we would have been terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pointing out to Andrew that he loves it when I'm pointing out things.
Hey, there's a tree.
Hey, you can see the curve of the earth from up this high. Shut up, Dad. You know, and we get to the top.
Wait. There is no curve to the earth, Mike.
That's right.
The earth is flat.
That's right.
And so is the moon.
We get to the top. Please don't email us. Actually, you should email us.
Yes. Well, the moon is flat, and there's two moons. There's the white moon, which reflects, and then there's the black moon, which occasionally covers that.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that the world, the earth, is triangular.
Yeah.
So.
And flat.
We get to the top.
irritabledadsyndrome.com.
And, you know, when you're in the front, you kind of hang there for a bit while the rest of the train is coming over.
Uh-huh.
And all you have is that lap thing holding you. And
it's the best.
Yeah, that view down there, you remember when you were a kid and you learned how to draw train tracks in art class?
Yeah.
Like they
They start close
together. The vanishing point.
And then toward the bottom of the page, they get far apart,
you actually
which gives the perception
you
of
you actually
depth.
See some of the point of that in Orion.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little hazy down there, you know, because you're in a different atmosphere, it seems. And I had just a moment to think, very few people see this view.
Uh-huh.
And are, you know, not being on a roller coaster and live more than 2 or 3 seconds after this moment. You at that point, you're entirely in the hands of whatever the engineers did for that thing, as opposed to all the chuckleheads behind you, which I used to be thinking, oh, they got this thing under control.
Yeah.
No. There's so much wind. No one can hear you scream. Uh-huh. It's faster than piss because of all the wind. It's not any faster, but you feel like it is because all the wind in your face.
Right.
Blowing what would have been my hair all over. It was a fine time. Yeah. We were screaming the entire way. I pooped and peed myself at least twice.
Years ago at Kings Island, I ran into people who were more annoying than those like me and your personal bumper. There were two guys in front of me. And I swear to God, they were playing patty cake.
What? That's illegal.
That should be freaking illegal. Down. It's like, you know, this is audio. No one can see the way I have my hands.
Yeah.
But they were, you know, one goes under, one goes on top, one.
Yeah.
And I'm just staring at them, looking at them like, are you kidding me?
You know what that's
like. And they finally felt the burning stare at me, and they're like.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what that's like.
Then they both turned, and then they had their back to me like, okay, we look like a couple of freaks.
How old were these cretins?
They were in their 20s.
Okay. This is exactly like, have you ever been, when you have kids. I've seen them.
Yeah, you've met them.
When they were little, you take them to the playground.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever go there and there's like people in their 20s or college age kids playing on the equipment?
Yeah.
And you're like, the hell is this? Yeah. Isn't there something you should be doing to either better yourself or destroy your brain cells? Uh-huh. Instead, you're out here playing on a swing set.
Right. Years ago, when Libby and I were dating, we went out on a date and I can't remember what we did, dinner, ice cream, movie. I don't know what, but we were out for a walk.
Okay.
And we did pass a playground, and we're like, let's go play on the playground.
It sounded like you were making an excuse to be on the walk. We were getting ice cream, and we had to walk to get there.
Oh, no.
Sorry, okay.
No, I can't remember what we did.
Yeah,
but
I got
before
it.
We went home, we decided we would stop and play on this playground. So we're on the swings, and these kids show up and start chasing Libby around. They start chasing her, and so yeah. And they're like, you know, playing a laser or play bang 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 bang. And Libby's like, oh, you didn't get me. No, yeah, I did. No, you didn't. You missed me. And then Libby started pulling the old, I had my invisible bulletproof shield, and you didn't get me.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, this is actually kind of awesome. These kids couldn't prove her wrong. You can't prove that you don't have an invisible bulletproof shield, and if you call it, that's the rule of the playground.
That's true.
If you say you have an invisible bulletproof shield, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screw it.
We're members of the YMCA. We went to the YMCA pool.
Okay. Is that still open now?
Yeah. All right. Sure. Okay. So that's why we were allowed in.
See, folks, sometimes these movies or these stories have context that most normal people can follow.
We jumped the fence.
Clearly, I'm not very good at context.
We went after midnight, we jumped the fence, and we were skinny dipping in the pool.
We went to the movies. Yeah. You mean where they show pictures on that screen?
That's right. Yeah. Did they sell popcorn too? We went to the movies.
Yes.
We went to the pool. We went to the pool.
Yes, the YMCA
pool. The YMCA pool.
Uh-huh.
We always grab a bunch of pool noodles. This particular day, we
grabbed
five.
It's not a type of dog. Not everybody knows what a pool noodle is.
Everybody knows what a pool noodle is, Mike.
Okay.
It's a long piece of styrofoam that floats.
Okay.
You can make it into a sword.
I don't think it's styrofoam.
Well, then what is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm being argumentative.
You are being argumentative.
Foam.
It's made of foam. It floats.
Okay.
Okay. So we're out there in the pool, and we have our pool noodles. We decided that we were going to...
beat each other with them.
No. We decided that we were going to do some swimming exercises.
Oh, okay.
Something else. So we put the pool noodles on the side of the pool. Okay.
Oh,
and we're somewhere else doing
it. Yeah.
So my question is, these kids walked over and grabbed two of the pool noodles. Now, if it was just kids, I'd be like, okay, kids are kids.
Kids are going to be kids.
I don't care if the kids play with the pool noodles.
Yeah.
But the kids went and got the noodles while their parents were with them.
Okay.
And they're just having a blast playing with these pool noodles.
Uh-huh.
And Libby and I are kind of like watching like, how long are they going to play with these without, you know, and then they start walking like they were getting ready to leave.
Okay.
And we're like, what do we do? Hey, how about you give me back my pool noodle? You know, what do you, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, do you make a scene?
Yeah.
Do you want to, you know, because the principal of it.
Yeah.
Those are my pool noodles.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the kids do go and put the noodles back.
Okay.
But nobody ever said, hey, thanks for letting us play with your pool noodles.
Yeah.
Or, hey, do you mind if my kids play with your pool noodles?
Yeah.
Or, hey, whose pool noodles are these? Is that cool? You know, it's just like they just grabbed them.
Yeah.
What is this, the Wild West?
Yeah.
Although they didn't have pools in the Wild West. But what, I mean, what's going on here?
So it reminds me, that reminds me of a story.
Mm-hmm.
One of Andrew's birthday parties. So a birthday party involves what? Other kids coming over.
Yes,
a cake.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, a cake.
Yeah.
And presents. That's the ingredients for a kid's birthday party.
Yes.
And games and to keep them from getting bored.
Yes.
But for the most part, you got to have cake, you got to have presents,
you got
to
have
other kids. Otherwise, it's sad. Whatever.
It's very sad.
So we're having one of those, and I'm going to be very careful here because these are still technically children, although this was like 11 years ago. They're Andrew's age now, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They came to the party, okay, and they were looking around at the presents while everybody's playing the games, and they picked up a couple of presents, and they just walked out the gate. Started walking down the street.
No, you can't
and
do
I,
that.
And you know how chaotic it is when you're a parent and your kid is having a birthday party.
Uh-huh. Oh,
you and your wife are doing your best to keep just everything together.
Yes.
And you're working extra hard to do all that without uttering four-letter words.
Yes.
Especially because you can every once in a while let them drop around your own kids.
Mm-hmm.
But other kids with other parents there,
it's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon.
Yes.
So we're a bit harried, as it were. Penultimately harried. Okay. And so I'm in the middle of trying to cut said cake.
Uh-huh.
And I notice the kids are taking the presents.
Uh-huh.
And I like, my crazed mind was like, maybe they're taking them to the other side of the yard because they're planning a surprise over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they round the corner. I was like, oh, they're going to hide them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I start walking towards where they're from. Now, if you remember, what was I doing when this started?
You're cutting the cake.
Cutting the cake. Yeah. So I'm carrying a knife after some kids who have taken presents from the party. Not even realizing it. I noticed everything got quiet.
Uh-huh.
And Bess is coming out of the thing, of the kitchen. She was doing something.
All of a sudden, we've got a parasite
situation.
She
sees me walking away with a knife. And I come back. I didn't stop them.
Uh-huh.
I came back and I was like, those kids just totally took the present. She's like, what kid? And I ran to the front of the house where the front door is. And I out the window, I was like, those kids, and they're just merrily walking down the street with wrapped presents.
Yeah.
So we had to go out the front door. Hey, and we didn't even, you don't talk at that point too much.
Right.
You talk while you're acting. Mm-hmm. You say, these are Andrew's presents while you're grabbing them from the kid and bringing them back in and putting them with the rest of the party.
Right.
Their parents weren't there. It was one of those, you know, here's the kid.
Uh-huh.
One of those drop and go. Here's my kid for a few hours while I go do whatever I do.
Go to Joanne Fabrics.
Yeah. Your pool noodle story. Yeah. Uh-huh. I have a little bit of anxious. Like I've seen them take presents from a birthday party.
Yeah.
Anytime I lay anything of my worth, anything that I value around, anybody grabs it, I'm going to be like, you know, there's got to be a few seconds there where you let them, you know. Everybody's had that moment where you get in the wrong car in the Kroger parking lot. You get into another car. It looks just like yours. And you're like, oh, gee. And then you panic. You're like, what the? No. And you want to make sure nobody saw you.
Uh-huh.
It's even worse if somebody's in there in the passenger seat. But
now I've never done that.
No, I have.
I've walked over to another car and tried to open it with the key. And like, why can't I open a frick?
I've opened it. And what caused me to realize it wasn't my car as I was getting in was, this is really clean. I was like, oh my God, I don't have leather seats. Oh my God, what the hell? So anyway, there's a moment, there's an amount of time that you allow them to have possession of your item.
Right.
I call it a dumbass rental.
Yeah.
They can have that for that period of time, but they got to give it back.
Yeah.
And when you get to the point where you feel like you have to yell, give me my pool noodles back.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you've socially, you've taken it socially too far.
Well, Libby was like the purple one, was the really big fat one. The really good pool noodle.
Yeah.
That was like the $2 one. And she's like, I mean, I don't care if they keep the blue one, but I really wanted to keep the purple one. So as soon as we got to the pool, like literally we were putting our towels down on the chair when this little kid, like 2 years old, walks straight over, grabs one of our noodles and just beelines off.
Oh, yeah.
And then the mom... And again, it's another kid. The mom's like, no, Jimmy or whatever. And she says, I'm sorry. And we're like, he play with the noodle. It's fine.
Yeah.
And she goes, no. And she's trying to teach this kid a lesson.
Yeah.
It's not yours. We don't just go and take things. And she takes it away from the kid.
Yeah.
And the kid was screaming for like 40 minutes. And we're like, let the kid play with the pool noodle.
Well, that's the pool noodle paradox.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if the kid just takes the pool noodle, you're in the give me back my pool noodle stage.
Yeah.
But if they take it and their parent says, give them back their pool noodle, you would do anything to let that kid have the pool noodle.
Right.
Take two more pool noodles. What a sweet little kid.
Yeah.
Take the pool noodle.
And it's like we were totally okay with the little kid playing with one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if it'll help, because you can teach this lesson another time that we don't just take. You know, we ask or we say, can we share or something like that?
Yeah.
And then when the mom insisted that the kid give it back, that's what the mom decided. So that's what we do.
That's a good mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You were talking about getting in someone else's car.
Yeah.
Years ago, I was at Kings Island and we were riding something and we had left the stroller over at the haunted Scooby-Doo thing.
Okay.
And so... Because we would usually park that there and sometimes hit the swings and then the thing and then the other one. And then I'd go back and get it.
Yeah.
So I go back to get the stroller and I'm walking it through the park and I'm going to meet Libby and the boys where they were. And I go to get the diaper bag and the diaper bag is gone. I'm like, oh my God, somebody stole our diaper bag.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would somebody steal a diaper bag?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they had all their stuff and this isn't my stroller.
Was there a baby in it?
No. But I'm like, oh. And I have never turned and ran quicker.
My Lord.
Then I did when I got it back. And yeah. Then I got mine and did like nothing happened. So nobody saw me. So there's nothing to report.
No harm,
here.
No foul.
Nothing to report here.
This portion of Irritable Dad Syndrome is brought to you by Guadalupe Shrimp Po' Boy Palace. Hi, I'm Dave Lay. Let me tell you something about Po' Boys. The sandwiches at Guadalupe's are made from the freshest lettuce, homemade bang bang sauce, and shrimp caught that day. Mmm, these sandwiches taste so good you'll come back the next day wanting more. With 9 locations in the U.S., Canada, and Vermont, there's bound to be one near you somewhere. So check out Guadalupe Shrimp Po' Boy Palace and tell them Dave sent you. Now back to the show.
Last week, I started an expression, does that jump your coin?
I love that expression.
It's taken off.
I love that.
Your wife,
my wife loves it.
Your
Bess
wife
loves that.
Asked me today, does that jump your coin? Yeah. And I said, yes, it does. And then I got a text from Jim Timmerman.
Yeah.
He sent me what he thought was a funny picture. It was a sign that pointed at firewood for sale, and there's no firewood. And he says, that really jumps my coin. I'm like, it's taken off.
Yeah.
It is totally taken off. So if you like the expression, does that jump your coin? Let me know, because that may be our next t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That absolutely may be our next
we
t-shirt.
We can have some stuff. We can have some fun with that one.
Here's something that jumps my coin.
It's time now for the Kroger Story of the Week.
I went to Kroger and I'm going through the checkout.
Uh-huh.
And the lady's there and she's ringing everything up and she's fine. And it's time to pay. Well, the card scanner thing is laying on its back, face up in the sky.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure it out. She goes, I'm sorry, that's broke. I mean, it still works, but the stand of it's broke.
Yeah.
And of course, me being the funny guy, so funny, said, I didn't do it. And she goes, ha, 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 I know. And then she says, I know you're kidding, but a lot of people say that. And just once, I would love to look at them and say, look what you've done. Just look what you've done. And we're talking. Yeah. It's like, can you imagine if she just picked up the phone and called the manager? Like, we've got a situation on register four here. And anyway, I thought it was cute when she said, look what you've done. Just look what you've done.
I went to Kroger today.
Did you get ice cream sandwiches?
I did. I got Blue Bunny and the penguins.
The penguins
surfing
on the surfings.
Thing. I looked at they're not actually going down an iceberg. I manufactured that in my brain, which I've noticed that I've been doing a lot in my 40s.
Think you saw the movie. Did you see the movie Surf's Up with the penguins?
No. I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's a though. Really good movie. Jeff Bridges plays a surfing penguin hippie dude.
Okay.
And it's one of his best movies. It really is. It's up there with Big Lebowski.
Yeah. But I've been adding details to my stories that I find that don't out exist. Later. I find out later they don't. Like, I've convinced myself. It's auto embellishment. Mm-hmm. It just happens. I don't know. It's like auto tuning. I can't control it. In my head, I could see the box that they're going down an iceberg. But anyway.
Okay.
What
are they going down? What are they surfing
Nothing.
Down?
I'll show you the box when
okay.
we
Okay, so
we
they're not surfing at all.
They are surfing.
Okay.
They're called surfboard sandwiches.
Okay.
Okay.
They sound delicious.
They are pretty good.
Okay. You know what? You've talked about ice cream sandwiches for the past 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And you never offered me an ice cream sandwich.
And I won't. Because we got...
Come on!
I get... The reason I get multiple types
uh-huh.
is because I found that the hard sandwiches, I've just been having bad luck for years. Because
mm-hmm.
I was pissed off.
Yeah.
At the last episode, I was like, they're all hard now. And you're looking at me like I've grown
they're,
a third head.
Yeah.
As opposed to my second head.
I was going to say. Mike, so, I thought I knew a lot about you.
So I got the Blue Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And they were soft. And I was like, hallelujah. I found that they were soft. I found the soft one. And then I got Blue Bunny again and they were hard again. So there's something going on. So I'm in Kroger like a freak squeezing the sandwiches. You realize how...
You're squeezing...
The box of ice cream sandwiches like the Charmin.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Do you know how psychotic that looks?
Very.
There's certain things that you're allowed to do to different things in Kroger's. Like the eggs, I always hold them up to the light because every once in a while there's a broken egg in there and you got to see if there's a broken egg.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I mean, if you're a weirdo and you don't know what kind of toilet paper you buy and you have to squeeze it like the Charmin, I think that's okay.
Right.
Two squeezes and it's enough.
Right.
But next time you're there at the ice cream sandwiches, pull a box out.
I'm not going to squeeze the ice cream, Mike.
I just want to. I want you to feel the discomfort.
Okay.
People stop and look at you. You know, like most of the time you're invisible.
Because once you squeeze it, you ruin it for the people who.
I'm not squeezing it. I'm not manhandling it. I'm gently caressing it.
It doesn't take much.
Just they might get mic. They might get a mic fingerprint in one of them.
You gently caressed the ice cream sandwich
With some slight force.
That sounds dirty.
It's non-destructive testing. Okay. But you would.
They're
be
going
amazed.
To give you a restraining order.
You ever have those moments where you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, and like you don't realize, like squeezing the ice cream sandwiches, and you hear silence, and you look, and everybody's kind of looking at you. That's what I experienced today. I squeezed them, and then I looked, and there was some lady, and she's just staring at me, and then she just kind of looked, like, because she didn't know if I was lost my, that might be what people do before they lose it and go crazy in a store, start squeezing ice cream sandwiches, so she just went on about her business. I decided, these are good enough. I've squeezed them. They're mine now.
And you bought the squozen ones.
I bought the squeezed, the squozen ones, yes. I bought the squozen ones, and I took them. I bought Jordan almonds, which is the main reason I went to Kroger. I've become addicted to those again. Have you ever had Jordan almonds?
I'm not a fan of almonds.
Okay.
You
don't have to be for these.
Okay. No. Whenever
they make you break out in hives or grow three heads.
I'm not allergic. You see, okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
And this was a Jim Gaffigan joke one time. Uh-huh. You tell people you don't like walnuts. Are you allergic to walnuts? No. I just don't like...
You're not a fan.
I don't like walnuts.
Yeah.
Or pecans.
Okay.
Or almonds.
Okay.
Okay, you put some salted peanuts on my ice cream, and homeboy is happy.
Okay.
And I like cashews. God bless you. Yeah. Okay. So, but...
I'm not a fan of cashews. I always think of ram's heads.
Okay. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Like the horns.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I take my Jordan almonds and my ice cream sandwiches and all the rest of the crap that I bought. And I go up to the self-checkout because all the other checkouts have tons of people in there. Uh-huh. They're always busy when I'm there.
Right.
I go to the self-checkout. The one on... Wait, it doesn't matter. I go over there. The one near the pharmacy.
The
area.
What?
The self-checkout that's closer to the pharmacy side.
Okay.
Because they close that one down every once in a while. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Right.
You've been there enough.
Yeah.
So I get in there, and I'm checking out my stuff, and there's a lady that governs the checkouts. I don't know what
the
you call it.
The one person who's in charge of all eight.
Yeah, seven. When the light lights up because you're buying something you shouldn't be.
Right.
Or whatever. She comes over, checks your ID, takes your pulse, whatever the hell. Ignores all the alarms that come up. Like, I don't know if you get the thing where it says put your in the bag because you might be stealing it and you cause an alarm. You get all these things. They're supposed to investigate. She never investigates. They don't care. They just push their buttons in and they go. I'm getting my stuff through the checkout. And this guy comes up right behind me, like just like 30 seconds after I get in there. And she says, no, we're closed. And he's standing there. He's like, closed? And I make eye contact with him because he says, you're closed, like I would say it. It's like, this is a kindred soul. And he's looking right at me. And it's clear that I just got there. I'm putting my squozins across. And I'm putting things in the bag. And she says, yes, we're closed. He's like, and he just says it again, closed. And she doesn't explain a thing.
Right.
She just waved her email like Obi-Wan in Star Wars. Yeah, like, these are not the droids you're looking for. She just says, she does that with her hand. She says, we're closed. Uh-huh. Like that. And he goes, oh. He backs up a step and he looks at me again. He looks at her. He gestures with his hand. He brings his hand up like he's going to present that I'm there, that he followed me up in the area there. And then he just kind of gets disheartened and puts his arm down. And he says, okay. And he turns his cart in this pathetic walk back over to the whole other side. And I look back at her and she says, have a good day, sir. To me.
What did you do?
Like
Like you're there together.
I thought she was doing that for, like, I got the impression that she was getting rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, for me. And I'm just like, yeah. And she's walking back and forth, and I put all the bags in the thing. And I thought, man, my ice cream sandwiches, my need for ice cream sandwiches and Jordan almonds has produced another Kroger story worthy of the podcast.
This has been the Kroger story of the week.
I lost you partway through there.
I have to apologize to our listeners. I don't know if I've told you this or not, but, and this is something that I inherited from my grandmother. I don't know why, but whenever I start laughing very hard, I get into a coughing fit. Now, I'm not a smoker. I've never had emphysema or I have, you know, they've listened to my lungs. I have healthy lungs.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I get into a coughing fit. But damn, when you said they check your pulse, I lost it. But you reminded me of something that happened forever ago. And one of my biggest pet peeves is people who will ask the same question, hoping to get a different result.
I do that.
Yeah. All it's the time. Like, yeah. You know, it's closed. Yeah, it's closed. Closed? Because I remember I was in line for the movies.
Yeah.
And we were going to see a Lethal Weapon or something. I can't remember what it was. And the dude in front of me, two for Lethal Weapon, she says, it's sold out. Sold out? Like, she says,
yeah.
Yeah, it's, yes, sir, it's sold out. Yeah. And he asked again, sold out? I mean, what did you think that's impossible?
Yeah.
I mean, sold out and closed aren't hard.
No, they're things pretty to comprehend. Common concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Closed means it's no longer open. that you have to take your ice cream sandwiches
sold out
somewhere else.
Yeah, sold out means ain't got no more. You can't have them.
Sold out. M's all sold out.
This portion of Irritable Dad Syndrome is brought to you by Whopper's All Beef Footlong Hot Dogs. Hi, everybody. It's your old buddy Dave. And you know what? It's cookout season. Whenever I get invited to my neighbor's cookout, I ask three questions. Will there be ladies? Will there be beer? And will there be Whopper's All Beef Footlong Hot Dogs? If the answer to any of these questions is no, I just say screw it. I ain't going. Oh, and if you're telling me you can afford an $800 Weber grill, but can't spend an extra $5 on real hot dogs? What a load of crap. Whoppers are made from 100% pure beef, with no fillers and no preservatives. Get a ruler and measure it yourself. If your Whoppers hot dog isn't a foot long, they'll refund your money guaranteed. So be a man. Don't settle for anything less than Whoppers All Beef Foot Long Hot Dogs.
Last week, I talked about a person who they've moved into my office.
Your office buddy.
I've got an office buddy now. Yeah. And so,
are you responsible for making sure that she gets out if there's a fire?
Probably. Probably. Okay. Although, she probably thinks she's responsible for me because she's in her 20s and more capable and able to help the old man.
So just faint.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. Just faint. She'll drag you
let
out.
Let her drag my ass out of there.
There you go.
So anyway, some days
builds it's character.
Some days it's fine, and some days it's not fine. Mm-hmm. Today was one of those not fine days because I'm sitting there doing my work, and she comes in and she's eating her lunch, and I said, "Hey, what do you got for lunch?" A sandwich. Like, I can see that you have a sandwich. Yeah. The question is, what type of sandwich?
Not a very good storyteller, is she?
No, she's not. Nice person.
Okay.
She's very nice.
Yeah.
It's like, of course you're eating a sandwich. I can tell that it's two pieces of bread. The question is, what's in between the bread?
Uh-huh.
Right? Peanut butter sandwich. Okay. And I said, oh, just peanut butter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'm like, so, and then I turn to the guy that I don't like, so no jelly. There's no jelly on the sandwich. And she goes, no. She says, I think it's a texture thing. I don't think jelly belongs on a sandwich.
The hell is she to make that?
How? What? You know, my mind started racing and spinning. Like, how can jelly not belong on a sandwich?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
You can't declare. It doesn't matter how you feel about jelly.
Yeah.
Whether it goes with peanut butter or not. Peanut butter and jelly go together.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
There's a brand.
We go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, there's a brand where you can buy it. It's got the peanut butter stripes and the jelly stripes.
Goobers.
I mean, you're a psychopath if you eat that.
Yeah.
But you can do it.
Now, do you have to keep that refrigerated? Because I don't refrigerate peanut butter.
Yeah, it's a whole weird.
Yeah.
I think that's for people that are going to eat that whole jar in one sitting. Maybe. I think that's who eats those.
What was it? Brian Regan said, put some croutons in there, and then you got your, you got your sandwich food. But anyway, so I'm trying to figure this out. I'm like,
yeah.
She says it's a texture thing. I'm like, why don't you just spread it thin enough? Because my wife, Libby, you know her. You like her. She likes you. She's a fan of the show.
Good.
When she makes a PB&J, she has to spread it so thin because, God forbid, it be a little globby. You can't have it globby. You can't have gel. Me, no such thing. You can put half a jar of peanut butter and half a jar of jelly on there. It's all spitting out. Then you just sop it up like a biscuit and gravy. You know? You can't put too much jelly on it.
She used mayonnaise? Mayonnaise?
No, she doesn't put mayonnaise on her sandwich.
Well, not this psychopath that you share an office with. Yeah. Does she on her other sandwiches?
I don't know. I stopped talking to her after she said she didn't like jelly.
That would seem to have the same consistency or texture as jelly.
Yeah.
But on the topic of globs, if it's too thin, if it's that's another title
on the topic of globs.
If it's too thin, you can't taste it. You need something to tame the peanut butter.
Yeah.
And then because you need something.
The peanut butter
else.
Has some of that salt in it.
Yeah, right. To tame it. That's what it is. To tame that jelly.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ask if it was creamy peanut butter or crunchy peanut butter?
No, I didn't ask.
It's probably that Jif or not Jif. What's the one with Peter Pan on it?
Peter Pan peanut butter.
Okay.
Let me think. God, what do they call the Peter Pan butter?
Oh, Skippy. I was thinking of Skippy. It's not Skippy the flying elf.
Skippy.
It's Peter Pan, Skippy, and Jif.
But anyway, so
moms choose Jif.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I finally had just, I couldn't figure out anymore. And then she's like, are you going to talk about that on your podcast?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
And you know what? Yes. I've imagined in my head, like,
I think we're going to have her as a guest on the show.
I've imagined when you've told the story about your office mate that you have like a 60-year-old woman that looks like Aunt B.
No.
Just I picture you sitting in the thing that going on,
and she's knitting,
or she's
it's time for supper.
You know,
come inside. You're gonna catch your death of cold out there.
So when you said you told me this story in advance or part of it in advance, you said that she doesn't like the texture of jelly. I thought, well, that's kind of cute. In an old folky kind of way. But now that I know she's in her 20s, that's what the hell's wrong with her?
Creepy. Like she was.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And to say it so, like, matter of fact.
Yeah.
Like I just don't like the texture.
Like she's better than me.
That's like saying, well, I just don't like America.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Bullshit.
Jim Timmerman asked a question.
Uh-huh.
He said that Arnold Palmer has a drink named after him. That's half tea, half lemonade.
Okay.
And that's the Arnold Palmer. If you had a drink named after you, what would the ingredients be?
I haven't even really come up with a good answer for this one.
Because I guess for me, all the drinks have already been taken.
Yeah.
But I would, if it was to be something original, it'd have to be tequila and Mountain Dew. I've told the story on this podcast, and I got a message a week or so ago from Jason Durbin, fan of the show, and he says, guess what I'm doing? And totally out of context, I have no idea what he's doing. I'm like, fixing your car, shaving your beard, what? And he says, I'm drinking tequila and Mountain Dew. I'm like, really? He says, yeah. He said, I had to try it.
Yeah.
And he says, it's really good, and I'm going to have to make myself stop doing it. So if you go and order a Darfin, it'll be a tall glass of Mountain Dew with two shots of tequila.
Yeah, I think can we make it a snow cone? Because I've always, I've always wondered what it would be like to have a snow cone with like a little bourbon squirter and squirt that on there, and then like you can squirt all the different tequilas and all this stuff on there and just make whatever kind of psychopathic snow cone.
Yeah.
I don't know what my drink would be.
So that's what your drink's going to be called, the Psychopath Snow Cone?
Psychopath Snow Cone.
Okay.
That was my band in college. I used that joke way too. Is that the first time I've said it on this podcast?
I was in a band in college?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's my joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first time you tried to steal it.
Well before you did.
We have another question. Dan wants to know, what's your favorite Yo Mama joke? And I guess my favorite is, Yo Mama's so fat, she jumped in the air, she got stuck. My favorite Yo Daddy joke is,
There's a Yo Daddy?
Your dad is so short, you can see his feet on his driver's license. I just imagine Mr. Potato Head. Steve Farrell wants to know, is it true there's always room for Jell-O? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love Jell-O.
I
bet you my office mate hates it.
Yeah,
I bet you she hates Jell-O.
Jell-O is one of those foods that I have to take a break from every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I come to a realization of what it is, kind of like shrimp. I love shrimp, but every once in a while I realize that it's sea grubs.
Yeah.
And then I can't eat it. Yeah. I just can't. I just I think of those huge, grubby things they find in Australia that the bush people eat.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh. And I see the shrimp and I see those things and ugh. And same thing with Jell-O. I was like, I love some Jell-O. I do some Jell-O. And then I think they make this out of horse hooves and stuff. I'm
It's delicious. Yeah, I love it. Mm. Give me some of that
one of our traditions here is that we make the Christmas jelly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Jell-O.
Yeah.
And little Santa faces and stuff.
Oh, that's
cute.
We make
it every year.
Okay.
It's called the Christmas jelly because nobody in the house could say Jell-O. And it's just kind of stuck.
Nope.
Nobody. Nope. I'm sure Bess could have if she tried.
Not even Bess.
I say you went ahead and accepted that I couldn't say it and went straight to Bess couldn't figure it out. What about Dakota? She couldn't figure it out?
Yeah. Chris Hughes has a Rocky IV question. You'll love this.
Okay. I will know the answer to it.
On the soundtrack, the soundtrack for Rocky IV had both songs Hearts on Fire and Burning Heart.
Yeah.
And he says, do you think that this is a theme for indigestion? Never. All these years later, I never put that together. Brought to you by Tums.
Yeah.
And let's see. I think my favorite question for the week was from Andrew. He wants to know, what is the best non-comic book action movie ever made?
Okay. So now that I know it's from a longtime listener of the show, I think they're trying to start a fight between us.
He's trying to start a John Wick rift again.
It's John Wick.
Right.
Now...
But I know that's not your favorite, and I know it's not what you think is the best one ever made.
Yeah.
I know it's not.
Okay, so here we go. So I feel obligated to say Die Hard.
See, that's what I predicted you would say.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to go with Die Hard, but John Wick is right there, man.
I predicted you would say Die Hard or First Blood.
Yeah, I know First Blood is technically, I don't really look at that one as an action movie. Now, Rambo First Blood Part 2 and Rambo 3.
Yeah.
And most of Rambo 4 are action movies.
Yeah.
But First Blood is more of a drama.
Yeah,
I mean,
one
dude dies in it, and it's because he falls out of a helicopter.
No.
Yeah.
He kills all those people.
No,
he
doesn't. Nope. They're all just wounded. Watch it. Watch it again. There's only one fatality.
It's been a long time since I was... Okay.
I know. You think in your head...
Yeah.
Because I did the same thing. I read on the internet what I just told you, and I was like, that's bull crap.
Yeah.
And I went and watched it. I was like, wow, this is almost like a TV movie.
Then I need to watch it again.
It terrified me as a kid.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Yeah, great movie.
So what I think is the best, my favorite, is Apocalypto.
Oh...
That mamma jamma,
yeah.
I mean, from the get go,
yeah,
is heart pounding, action, intense. Well, I mean, you're on the edge of your seat, you're sweating,
yeah.
You're there will be times where you're not breathing, and you're like, oh, I forgot to breathe.
Yeah, and the scene when they get to the pyramid and it's the chopping the heads and the thing, and that gets to you.
Another really, really, really good one was Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes,
that son of a. From oh my god, I remember Libby and I had rented it, and she's not really into she'll watch it, but she was on the edge of her seat. She's like, oh my god, wow, you know, thrill ride.
Yeah,
very, 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 very good.
Do you consider The Fugitive to be an action movie?
I was gonna say The Fugitive, no, I consider that a drama.
Okay,
I mean, okay, so the action was he jumped off the tower.
Mm-hmm. He jumped over the off the
yeah he
the,
jumped like off the
watery
the,
thing
yeah the watery thing and I'm no better I can't think of the word
you're fixing a tower in the middle of the Bourne series. I love the Bourne series.
I think Jason Bourne can kick James Bond's ass.
He could
easy.
Well, could he kick the Daniel? I think the Daniel Craig Bond and Jason Bourne could go at it. I think.
Daniel Craig doesn't stand a chance against Jason Bourne.
You don't?
All right.
Okay.
No. Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
James Bond the Daniel Craig James Bond might be better at picking up the ladies or lighting a cigarette or driving his Aston Martin. Yeah. But he ain't got nothing on Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Now, old school action movies, because some of them get left behind the dust. Now, Predator.
Yeah.
Is way the smack up there.
Commando.
As a kid, Commando. You watch Commando now. It's so cheesy. It's like, what the hell is this? I feel embarrassed for my younger self.
Leave him alone. He's dead tired. I let him go. Yeah.
Hey, Sully, remember when I tell you I kill you last?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You said it. You said it.
I lied.
Yeah.
No!
We have a request.
Okay.
So before we wrap the show up, Chris Michael is a big fan of our show.
Okay.
And a few months ago,
he is a big fan.
We were talking about, he's listened to every episode.
That's awesome.
I was talking about how back in the 90s, I used to work with a guy named Nathan, and we did some commercials for JD's 24-hour drive-thru, pawn and gun, auto parts, pharmaceutical, adult gift, bait and tackle, discount, cigarette outlet. And he was talking about how much he loved that commercial and asked if we would ever run the commercial again. Well, we're not going to run that commercial again. Yeah. We're going to run a different commercial because we produced several of them. And I still have a bunch of them. So if you didn't hear that particular episode, my friend Nathan and I, we used to work together at my first TV station, and he had come up with the concept for this convenience store that sells literally everything. And we started writing some spots together, and he produced a bunch of them. They ended up playing on the John Boy and Billy Big Show. So here's another commercial for JD's 24-hour drive-thru, pawn and gun, auto parts, pharmaceutical, adult gift, bait and tackle discount, cigarette outlet.
Well, it's about that time again, and it seems like Arbor Day just keeps getting closer every year. If you're asking what the hell's Arbor Day got to do with anything, I'll tell you. At JD's 24-hour drive-thru, pawn and gun, auto parts, pharmaceutical, adult gift, bait and tackle discount, cigarette outlet, one day's just as good as another to sell you fine quality merchandise at low quantity prices.
Mm-hmm.
We got monkey wrenches, yo-yos, pillowshams, kerosene, ring binders, corkscrews, padded bras, corned beef, Levi Garrett, hamburger helper, and VHS copies of the world's funniest tractor pull accidents. We got Bunsen burners, nipple piercing, Debbie snacks, Big League Chew, ashtrays, motorhome accessories, 2% milk, and them sexy little t-shirts that show your belly button. And don't forget to grab a hot pan of homemade cornbread along with an autographed picture of rodeo legends Tuff Hedeman and Donnie Gay. And for the first time ever, this Wednesday from 9 to midnight, we'll have a no-bun pulled pork barbecue eating contest in our air-conditioned back room, and the winner gets a Dale Earnhardt pocket knife. And be part of the latest rage with our new talking Robert D. Rayford action figures.
You kids, get off my lawn.
Moms, bring them kids out to see our new Wide World of Animals petting zoo. They'll ooh and ah over goats, crossbred dogs, cats, minners, and pincherless crawdads. Hey, they can't hurt you. Let them crawl on the youngins. So come on down. What are you waiting for? If you can't see us in person, check us out on the internet at www.jd's24hourdrivethroughpawnandgunautopartsapharmaceuticaladultgiftbaittackleddiscountcigaretteoutlet.com. Do it today.
JD's, JD's, what a southern boy needs.
Man,
that's awesome.
Man, Nathan was amazing. He passed away a few years ago, and some friends and I were talking about him, and we really miss having him around. Well, that concludes another episode.
We want to put this one in the bucket.
We really want you guys to come back next week. Next week will be episode 52, our 1-year anniversary. We're going to play best of clips. There's some new surprises that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. So there's a reason to listen to it.
There's always a reason
that's
to listen.
That's true.
Irritable Dad Syndrome,
that's
Mike.
True.
Come
that's
on,
true.
Man. Come on.
Check us out on our website.
www.irritabledadsyndrome.com.
You can listen
to previous episodes.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of bonus stuff. And you can send us money. There. I had a question. Somebody asked if we would do the buy me a coffee. Have you heard of the buy me a coffee? Buy a coffee for me. Give me a coffee. It's some kind of thing where somebody buys you a coffee.
Good explanation, Mike. Basically, we sign up and then people buy us coffee.
I think that's how. I think they send an amount of money that is equivalent to buying a coffee, and it's like a thank you or a, here's a support of the show. I don't know. Clearly, I haven't read much about it.
I normally don't tell you how to run your life or how to, but next time, maybe figure out what you're going to say before you start to say
it. If I did that, half of our episodes would be non-starters. So from all of us at Irritable Dad Syndrome, we'd like to thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
God. What the hell?
Hey, guys, I don't want to be here. Where's the front door?